When Jesus found bruised people, he didn't break them. When he encountered people whose candle wick had almost burned out, he didn't blow it out. He brought healing, hope, and kindness. We Jesus followers are also called to that lifestyle of kindness.
And that is just one moment from today's Peace and Power Bible Talk with Dr. Jim Coleman. Welcome. Somewhere deep within, each of us desires an inner flow of peace and power that transforms our daily attitudes, relationships, and life decisions. The Bible, God's message to us, teaches us to live in that flow. Remember, the outline of today's talk is available in the show notes, and the full transcript is posted on our website at peaceandpowerpodcast.com. That's peaceandpowerpodcast.com. Now, let's listen for God's guidance in today's Bible talk.
When I was 3 and 4 years old, my parents had difficulty finding shoes that fit me. I needed a wide size, and few shoes for that age came in wide sizes. But we had a friend, Dick Sprague, who was a shoe salesman at Steve's Shoes in Kansas City, and he did some homework. "Come into the store," he said over the phone to my mother. "I think maybe I've found a pair." And so we did. And Dick was right. They fit. "Great," he said. "But you need to know, first, I'll have to special order these each time, so you'll need to let me know when you want a new pair. And second, this is the only style that comes in the wide size, and it comes in only 2 colors, black and brown." So, for 2 or 3 years, and little feet do grow fast at that age, when I needed a new pair of shoes, the only question my mom asked was, "So, what color do you want this time, black or brown?" Not very many stylistic choices in that question. This is really what clothing styles are about, isn't it? Choices, options, combinations, materials, colors, culture, creativity, personality, preferences. In the Apostle Paul's picture of the Christian life in Colossians chapter 3, Christ followers take off, verse 9, the clothing of the before Jesus life and put on, verse 10, the Christ life. Paul is actually describing a style of living, a Jesus style of living. And much like the style of our outward clothing requires complementary combinations, Paul decides to give the Colossian Christians a list of combinations. These combinations are what the Christian life and the church's life look like. I, as a Christian, do not get to choose my spiritual style of living. And yet the Jesus style I'm called to live is not a boring black and brown style like my childhood shoes. It is a combination of attitudes and actions that brings great variety to my life and to our life together as the church. Hear now Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." The first Jesus style characteristic Paul lists is tender-hearted mercy or compassion. Jesus was compassionate. Compassion requires truly seeing someone's need. Jesus had a special insight about people's needs, and then a special heart that desired to rescue them from that need. Often when we call Jesus the Savior, we focus on his action, which is true and fine. But why did Jesus act as Savior? What were his motives? Well, he acted that way because he had a Savior's heart. His heart was full of, brimming over with, compassion. That's why he acted in compassionate ways. One reason why many of us connect with Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 is the compassion that shines through the Samaritan's action. Jesus' Jewish listeners were shocked at the compassion of someone who shouldn't have been compassionate. In their minds, a Samaritan compassionate toward a Jew. And today, as we read the story, we are shocked at the lack of compassion from those who should be compassionate. A Jewish priest, a Levite who helped maintain the temple. But in their own day, they could hide behind ritual purity as an excuse for not touching the beat-up, robbed, bloody traveler. Oh yes, can't we sometimes offer very good reasons, really excuses, not to be compassionate? But if we are living Jesus-style, and Jesus lived compassionately, we choose compassion over excuses. Then Paul lists the word kindness. No wonder Paul also calls us to live out the kindness of Jesus. To the marginalized, Jesus extended a simple kindness that was rarely offered to them. Roman culture in general was unkind. It was harsh. But in many ways, the law of Moses taught hospitality and kindness. That's why we're disappointed how, in Jesus' day, some of the Jewish religious leaders had taken on this spirit of harsh legalism. How harsh? Well, harsh enough to ask for Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus, the one who had taught kindness and offered kindness and fulfilled Isaiah's prophetic description of the Messiah that we read in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. When Jesus found bruised people, he didn't break them. When he encountered people whose candle wick had almost burned out, he didn't blow it out. He brought healing, hope, and kindness. We Jesus followers are also called to that lifestyle of kindness. And we're called to a Jesus-like humility, which Paul lists next. Think about how arrogant Jesus could have been. Jesus could have bragged about his power and wisdom, and no one could have accused him of exaggerating. But instead, Jesus was humble. How did that hymn in the early church put it that Paul recorded in Philippians chapter 2? He humbled himself and became obedient. The phrase arrogant Christian is a contradiction of terms. Then, next in Paul's list of how to live Jesus style, there is gentleness. You know, there are many great possibilities for using social media, but certainly there are many people who have turned it into a way to dispute. It can stir up anger, resentment, and argument. When Paul uses the word gentleness, he means an attitude that is not looking always for a dispute. When we actually listen to someone else, seek to truly understand them, and try to put their needs above our own, the result is gentleness, a gentleness in the way we interact with them. Jesus did not like to dispute, and when others insisted on disputing, he gave them wisdom and then ended the argument quickly. Paul next puts patience on the list. And all of us have some measure of natural patience. Maybe more than anything else in this list in Colossians 3, we know that sometimes only a supernatural measure of patience keeps us from overreacting to others who are pushing our buttons. I was in a college faculty meeting once when an unfairness toward the faculty was being discussed. Someone suggested that we respond in kind, treating the other party the way we had been treated. It was a very impatient approach. But it was decided that we should try the golden rule. We should treat the other party with the respect and patience with which we wanted to be treated. We should respond opposite to impatience, should demonstrate a better way, And Paul is saying here that not only is this the way Jesus responded when provoked, it is the way the Holy Spirit can empower us to respond in patience. Next on the list is to make allowances, to be supportive of someone, even when we are disappointed with their behavior. One time, a divorced mom shared with me that her former husband, with whom she had 3 children, was getting remarried. And because they recognized it was important to their young children to have an emotionally supportive family, her husband and his fiancé invited her to the wedding. And she went. For their children's sake, they wanted to prioritize a healthy relationship between the ex-wife, the ex-husband, and his new wife. Do you know what that is? That is making allowances to be supportive despite disappointment in others. It's exactly what Paul is speaking of here. Next listed is maybe the most difficult Christ-like action, forgiveness. Isn't it true that in some situations, forgiving another person is a simple step? It's a moment of understanding, a rather easy thing. But in other circumstances, forgiveness is an enormous step, a leap, actually, the most difficult thing we will ever be asked to do. Only Jesus, Paul says, the Jesus style of living, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can help us to make that leap of forgiveness. As you would expect, Paul then reminds us that the greatest motive for all of these virtues is love. Did you notice that he elevates it above all the other virtues? Verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You know how eloquently he told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13:13, 3 things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So don't forget, Paul says, that God is the true and greatest source of love. And it is that supernatural love that is to be most experienced in the church, among God's people, binding believers together. Remember verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. This kind of love creates the greatest human unity possible, the church. And that supreme experience of community love creates the most mature love on the face of the earth. If you're wondering what God's greatest goal for your life is, that's it. Mature, Christ-like love. There is no goal beyond that. That's what most glorifies your Creator. Allow me to close Paul's marvelous description of this Christian's clothing with this. In the past few weeks, I have reread John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress, one of the most influential Christian books of all time. It was very meaningful to me a few years ago to visit John Bunyan's grave in London, England. As you likely know, the story is about Christian, who has left his former way of life behind, and he is journeying toward the celestial city. But he travels with the great burden of sin on his back. Not until he reaches a hill with a cross at the top is he told that his sins are forgiven, and suddenly the heavy bundle of sin on his back breaks loose, and it falls off, and it rolls down this steep hill he has just climbed. And it goes into a sepulchre, never to be seen again. Then he is stripped of all of his old clothing, his rags. He is handed a bright, new set of clothing. But he is not yet at the celestial city. He has many more miles to go and other challenges and experiences, many more difficulties and trials to encounter. Now, though, in the story, he is dressed with a new power, the power of Christ, an inner power, which goes with him all the way to the celestial city. Like Christian, you and I have part of our journey to go until we reach the celestial city. But by faith in Jesus, our rags have been removed, and we are dressed with Christ. We are dressed Jesus style. Here is a peace and power principle. When you are clothed with Jesus' Spirit, you wear Jesus' power for living.
Thank you for listening to the Peace and Power Podcast, and we invite you to subscribe to hear the next upcoming Bible talk. Again, our website is peaceandpowerpodcast.com, and our prayer is that God's Word has brought you a greater sense of a supernatural flow of God's peace and power in your life.